Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name's Rob Seltzer, and much like what we hope for Palace's tactics, we're hoping for something different this season. Unfortunately, we're exactly the same. Joining me today, we have Dale Quarty. Dale, are you as hot as I am at the moment? It is roasting.
Oh, you mean temperature hot? Yes.
Obviously.
Physically, obviously not.
Well, that's impossible, as we all know. My God, how are you, mate?
I've been actually looking a bit better if the light is shining on my face, so you just don't see like a black shadow or silhouette thing. But otherwise, I'm good.
Moving swiftly on before we get ourselves in trouble, we have Ned in Melbourne. How are you, Ned?
Yeah, good, thanks. No such lighting problems down here, but we are going to Mark next, who having extremely
Weird.
lighting problems
Yeah.
up there. But I'm very well, Rob. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you, mate. Good to see you again. And where do we begin with Mark and his technology problems? I just don't know. So we're just going to move straight past him and say, Mark, how is it up there in Queensland?
Oh, quite good. Also stifling hot up here. Very warm. Unfortunately, I can't get the visual aspect of this Zoom kicked in from my end, as I said, due to technical difficulties far beyond my control. I'm shirtless, I'm hot, obviously not as much as Dale or your good self, but I've got Ned covered.
It's toasty down here, but yeah, you probably have got me covered. There's no visual evidence, so it didn't happen.
That's true.
That's a cracking start, lads. A cracking start. Well, since we last podded, which was 2012,
Can I just a quick reminder of at the start of the year, remember how we said we were going to do shorter, more frequent pods? It's
exactly, and
gone very well for us so far.
exactly. Hence,
Weekly.
my intro. Like, we were hoping for something different, but it's exactly the same. So we haven't podded since 2012 or so. Palace have lost a lot of football matches. Nothing changes. So
Merry Christmas.
let's depress ourselves even further in, because tis the season, as Dale rightly said there. I can't bother to go through all the games that I've played. We haven't won many of them. How
You
are
haven't
we
won any
feeling?
of them.
We've won one of them. We've won one of them. We beat Burnley. We beat Burnley. I don't think we'd potted. I don't think we'd potted since then. Oh, that would, yeah. So lucky us. How are we feeling, fellas? Are any of you nervous about the dreaded R word? Thought I'd throw that out there.
Nope.
Net. No, good. Move on. Dale, you?
Not worried about it. I'm more concerned about having a team get deducted 10 points and then be above us by the end of next week. That would be disappointing.
We'll get onto that in a second. And Marky Mark.
Worried might be too strong a word, but it's certainly now on my radar. And I'm getting more concerned as the results flick by, and even with some of the results going away, i.e., the three promoted teams, even in some losses, are showing a bit more ticker than we are against a lot better teams that we're struggling to get a point off or outright losing to. So, yes, it's festering into worry, and by Christmas, I'll be in a right spin, I'm sure.
I think I'm probably where Mark is, to be honest. I'm worried is probably too strong a word, but I'm certainly looking over the shoulder more than I thought I would be. Which leads me on to the next part of this kind of conversation, is the, do you think under Roy we can turn it around soon? Okay, let's move past Man City. Man City ain't happening.
Let's just ask the question you want to ask. Hudson in or out? That's what
No,
you
mate. We'll get.
want
No, we're going to
to
get to
ask. That's
that.
what
We're
you
going to
want.
get. We're going to get to
We
that, and
all
we'll
know
know.
that's what you
Just
want to ask.
clarify,
Sorry, Rob.
no.
When you said 2012, I didn't realize we were actually recording the pod from like 2012.
Exactly.
Same thing. Like,
I'm at.
I thought we might have
Look,
fresh
we all.
discussions.
That I'm consistent with my cut. Where my color with the mask. I nail my colors too. Out, 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 out. But how do you feel about the tactics and the way we're playing? Let's
Me?
go, Dale.
I was going to say it's been shit, but let's be honest. I think I've said this on. I reckon you can go back to every season, you'll find at least one pod where I said, I don't care if you lose, it's how you lose it matters. And yeah, Liverpool game was better, but that's a free hit in my eyes. It doesn't really matter. Like, Man City's a free hit. That Bournemouth game was awful. It's absolutely insipid. I thought the Forest game was woeful. I mean, I can't even go through all the other games, but like, yeah, it's just, I don't know. The game against Bournemouth, just what concerned me is we looked bad, and the answer was to not change anything. It was like subs. And I think we saw against Liverpool, and it might be because it was against Liverpool, I don't know, but I thought Will Hughes was absolutely brilliant. And I know Ned, you agreed, he's just too goddamn slow, which is true, but sometimes you just need somebody in there who's actually a midfielder who can do some proper midfield things. And that's no disrespect to Chris Richards, because two out of three games he's played really well. But we don't want to be seeing Chris Richards. Our future is not Chris Richards and centre midfield. I thought Jeppesen Lerma in the last two games has been really good as well. Should have scored against Liverpool. Is what it is. Usually I'm quite happy if someone kicks the ball to Alisson's face, but on this occasion not so much so. For me, those were a couple of shining lights. Will Hughes last game, Chris Richards two out of three games. The rest of it just, I don't know. I hate to say it, but it's back to Roybal, and it's back to what we didn't really want to be seeing. So, yeah.
Agree. Mark him up.
We're talking about going back to 2012 and the club and this podcast can all be summed up in 2.5 words, mate. Cut and paste. Because fuck, not much changes. We bang on about the same positions that need filling, same tactics. We're fuck now, the same manager, mostly the same players. I agree with Dal. I can handle. I mean, we are who we are. We know our place. But then, if you're gonna lose to teams, I'd just rather see a lot more ticker and fight. And the boys, Liverpool, yeah, it was better. But the last couple were terrible. And I was and still am a but to a lesser degree a Roy advocate. But the game before last, even when. You think, oh, well, it might not be flashy and, nick the odd goal on the counter, but, our defence was pretty good and resolute. My mind goes back to that City game a couple of seasons ago. I thought defence was fucking awesome. I think it was the game Riederwald was just about best on ground.
Oh, that was at Christmas or around about New Year, so that's part of
New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve game,
yeah,
that
that's
is.
right, yeah.
Our defence was fucking outstanding that day. And that was on Rob Button now. And I think one of the commentators says, well, when you don't even have that now, well, fuck, where are you left with just, an OAP as the fucking governor and everyone walking around in Hughes's case and others shrugging shoulders. And yeah, so I don't know where the new direction comes from and I don't know who implements it. It's just becoming painfully predictable. What happens and who does what, and yeah, joking as it is, cut and paste covers the spread, doesn't it?
Pretty much, Ned.
Well, I mean, we've got a lot of injuries, and we don't have any attacking players who are actually capable of like creating and unlocking the defense other than Eze and Olise, who basically haven't been on the pitch. Have we been great to watch? No, but it is what it is. I think. What I will say is everyone sort of keeps banging on about how awful we were in this Bournemouth game and how bad it was and all those sorts of things. To paraphrase Roy, I won't use the word spoiled because that was a poor choice of word, but in terms of what he was saying and giving respect to an opponent, that Bournemouth side, their last five results, Manchester United nil, Bournemouth three, Palace nil, Bournemouth two, Villa two. Sheffield United 1, Bournemouth 3, Bournemouth 2, Newcastle nil. Unbeaten in five, having beaten Manchester United and Newcastle, who are Champions League teams this year. Villa, who are absolutely flying off and Manchester City.
Were Champions League teams.
Were Champions League teams. Very important distinction, Dale. Very well played. I agree completely. They started poorly, but they are absolutely flying at the moment. I didn't think we played anywhere near as poorly in that game as everyone seems to suggest. We created some chances. We had opportunities. We don't have players who put the ball at the back of the net. That's a problem. I mean, we've got someone like an Edouard who we keep talking about as being a bit rubbish, who has still managed to score a few goals this year. So we're obviously putting the ball in some sort of reasonable area at times. But I think our inability to put the ball in the back of the net is definitely contributing to this sort of idea that Roy's football is just super negative and terrible and all those sorts of things, which it is pragmatic, definitely. But I think we also have to have a look at, given the players that we don't have, we do actually try and score. I mean, a game against Liverpool on the weekend, we tried to score goals. We just weren't, you know, we've got Jefferson Lerma, who's 6 yards out, hits a ball straight at Alisson. You got Joachim Andersen, 6 yards out, puts it wide. You can't just keep missing those opportunities and then say, oh, it's the manager's fault every time. I mean, we should have scored 3 goals against Liverpool. Then it doesn't matter. They score 2, we win. We should have scored and taken the lead against Bournemouth.
When, but what I, on that Bournemouth thing, I can only think, the only thing I can think of is when Ayew had a shot, I think it was against Bournemouth, keeper saved it and Schlupp tripped up.
Yeah, there was Lerma hit the post.
Yeah, but, you know, that's two. Okay, that's two. Then
That's two, and both of them occurred before Bournemouth scored a goal. And Bournemouth's second goal was right at the end of the game. So all of a sudden, if you're 2-0 up in that game, it's a completely different
we're
thing.
Not, we're not creating, like the Lerma thing, I wouldn't say it's an amazing chance. I wouldn't say he should score there. He's hit a good shot.
I'm not saying he should score there either. I'm saying it's a chance to score. We don't score the ones where we have a chance to score. I'm not saying we're missing gilt-edged chances every week, but I'm saying we are creating opportunities to score. And where other teams might take one of three of those chances, for example, we'll take one of 10. And so you end up in a position where, yes, you have a pragmatic manager who his game plan is, as we know, to stay in the game for as long as possible and try and nick the goal to win it. Like that's the game plan. We know that's the game plan. We want to try and hit teams on the counter-attack. We don't have the Wilf that we used to have. We don't, you know, we haven't had Elise and Eze for periods to play. When Eze came on in that game against Bournemouth, it was probably his fault that we ended up conceding the goals because he was poor.
The first one. That was Liverpool, the first one was him, wasn't it? Didn't clear it.
So you sort of sit there and you go, like, you know, we've got players that can do those sorts of things, but in terms of our attack, we're very, very lacking in players that are good enough to score goals. And unfortunately, if you don't score goals, you don't win games of football, to quote Thierry Henry.
I agree with to a point what you're saying there. If you don't score goals and we don't convert them, but we're only creating two or three of those chances a game, right? And we've heard all along, we can't afford the Haalands that will score out of three chances, we'll score two. We can't afford them. Right, so we need someone. The chance that we're going to get someone, we need the players that we've got. Are going to be so one in four, context, one in five.
So for context, that Bournemouth game, yeah, we have 5 more shots than Bournemouth in that game.
Stats don't. I mean,
we had 60%.
They could be shooting 35 yards.
We had 60. We didn't. We weren't shooting from that distance.
I'm saying, I don't remember. I sort of remember the as I said the Edouard one when him and Schlupp tripped each other up.
16 shots.
The Lerma one.
3 on target. No goals. That's just trash.
Hitting the post isn't on target.
No, you're right.
The keeper flipped, that's going on a shot on target. I think the keeper got fingertips of it, I think. But we're not creating enough. We're simply not. See, this is my problem with Roy as well. Like, the Richards into midfield, for example, I think he's done really well. I think, you know, for what he is. He threw West Ham a curveball because no one saw that coming. You know, holy shit, because he can play. He's a good player. But then you then play him in an out of position against Bournemouth and they walk through the middle of the park. They walk through it because you just didn't know. He's not a central midfielder. And then he did it again against Liverpool. Like, it worked once because you threw teams a curveball. But because he's so predictable, Bournemouth and Liverpool can...
You say they walk through. They score one from a corner and one on a counter-attack.
Mate, they walk throughout that. We had no control in the middle of the park against Bournemouth. I would not have that. No control at all. They controlled the hole in the middle of the pitch because we've got a player in Chris Richards who I like as a very good footballer. He's not a defensive central midfielder. He's not. So he doesn't know who to position. That's not his game. Against West Ham, brilliant. He was superb. They didn't have a clue. They didn't. They just put him on Souček. He had someone to mark. There wasn't a Souček for Bournemouth. Very different place. You need another centre. You need two Jefferson numbers. You need Will Hughes in there to play, right? And then, but because teams know he's not going to change it, and you know, for okay, probably needs must this weekend because we have no players. But even if we have players, you know, he's starting again on Saturday in the central midfield. What do you think Guardiola is thinking? Well, we're just going to play. We're going to just take the guy that's not a central defensive midfielder and make him uncomfortable. That's what I would do, because you know it's coming, and that just puts pressure on Gay, he and Anderson, with more pressure on the back four. And hopefully, we've got Remy Matthews in goal, who, as we saw when he came out here, was quite wonderful. So that should be fun.
That's one we can agree on. Yeah. He's not a Premier League footballer. That's one we can very happily agree on. I mean, love the guy's commitment and all that sort of stuff, but he's not a
That
Premier League
fucking
footballer.
bloke near post on what 2 minutes or something? Bang.
Tell you what, though.
What I'll say about
Just.
that goal was that defending was appalling.
Yeah,
So
I
three
agree.
people all turn their back on it. You go back 3 or 4 years
Yeah,
when
no one's defending, no one's
we
doing
had
that.
the likes of a. You know, when, I know Pulis is going back a long way, but we used to be. It used to stagger me every time a team would have a shot. You would see four Palace players throwing anything in front of it, and they just
Ned,
go out of the way.
not even a couple of years. Go back a couple of games. And in fairness, in a Liverpool game, we blocked a heck of a lot of shots. So I think that was just, I think they were just tired. What I will say about the games coming up, and then I think we should get off the subject because it's depressing, is that Remy Matthews, thank God we bought a £20 million goalkeeper as backup. Oh, he's injured. But suddenly though, buying Henderson wasn't such a bad idea. Remy Matthews, Tyrique Mitchell, Eze, Cheick Doucouré, just concerning. I mean that is a real spine of four players that you, I mean, any team would suffer if the equivalent were out for them.
And that's assuming that, you know, I don't know if Edouard's going to be fit.
Yeah, but I don't think Edouard will. You don't. You go off if you go off. You know it, Ned. All of us here know it. Like you go off with a muscle injury, and no one's kicked you. It's very unlikely you're ready to go in 6 days.
Playing. See, and but going back to the Roy thing, remember when he came in after Frank de Boer and he played Wilfred Andros up front and threw Chelsea completely out, and it worked perfectly. And then he ran that idea into the ground, and everyone knew that Wilf wasn't a striker, nor was Andros Townsend, and we didn't score any goals. It's going to do the same thing as Chris Richards. He tries it, it works, brilliant. Do something else now. Move back. Like, go. It's not going to happen. Anyway, I think we should move on because I fucking hate him. Oh, sorry.
Just quickly before we do, Rob, on the injury front, what's up that Ferguson chap? He's got to be close, hasn't
Blessing. Absolutely blessing. You're getting a new contract though, so it's all right.
Apparently,
Work it out.
the fact that we've been so good to Ferguson was a big reason why Elise is saying, 'cause you see how we treat younger players.
Right, mate.
I'm
Job
proud of
done.
that. He told me that himself. Me and Michael are quite tight. Right, so now what
Got
we're
him
gonna
signed, Barber.
do. Exactly. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go buy or sell, but we're going to go through kind of like the core 13 of the only players that actually get on the pitch with Roy, really, when there's no injuries. What you do with them. So we'll go along. We'll start with the keeper, back four.
And let's do Roy, Parish, and Friedman as well.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. We can do Roy, Parish, and Freeman. I mean, everyone knows my feelings on Roy, so I don't really need to chime in there. But we'll do them too. So let's start. Super Sam Johnson in goal. Ned.
Obviously.
Dale.
I want to say I'm buying stock, but, I don't know, something isn't sitting right with me about Sam Johnson in the last month or so. Don't know what it is.
He's very
Just,
hesitant to come for a ball at times.
yeah. Yeah, less hesitant than Guaita, but
Yeah, not necessarily the
more.
ones in the air. He's more of a Johnson's more the ones on the ground,
Yeah.
and occasionally he has that first touch that is a little bit loose that gets him in trouble, like the Wolves one.
Yeah. So I'm I'm buying an ever so tiny amount of stock in him.
Mark him up.
What are we going with? All things considered an equal picking who in what position for, is that
No.
right? Like bar an injury and whatever?
Just whether
Is that
you're
the correct?
buying, no, whether you're buying or selling stock in a player, in this case, Sam Johnston.
Yeah. I just didn't hear the brief. Am I picking like our best 11 for considering everyone's available, or am I buying? Am I
No.
selling?
So
Or I've never played football
we're
manager,
going with Sam
boys.
Johnson,
Video game
right?
for me.
Are you buying stock in Sam Johnson? You're
Yeah.
happy with him and you want to buy some stock in him, or are you selling
Correct.
stock you don't think he's good enough and you want to move him on, basically?
Okay. Well, how much is every stock?
Well, look, you're
I'm just joking. I'm fucking with you. Yeah, I get stocks in him for sure. I'll back
That's
him with Graham.
brilliant. That is brilliant. Oh, Mark, that's why you do a
Sell,
comedy,
sell.
Mark.
Buy
This is why you
high, sell
do
low. That's my
the
motto.
comedy. Yeah. The good news is about the first touch. Remy Matthews is the goalkeeping answer to Kevin De Bruyne, so we'll be fine with the ball at his feet. I am also buying a small amount of Sam Johnson still, to be honest. All right, let's start with Mark here. Joel Ward.
Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah,
As much as you
bye
can. Sell all Bitcoin, put it all into Joel Ward.
David.
Not well, no, let's, I mean, love, adoration, infatuation aside, yeah, he's served the purpose and great for morale. Obviously became the club's leading Premier League appearance maker, thus making him the best player we've ever had. Wilfred who? Oh, look, it needs some attention there, I think. But again, like I said earlier, cut and paste. Could have said that from 2019, but he's still there, brandishing the armband. So, bye.
So I have absolutely no idea what Mark's doing there. Anyway, Dale.
I'm selling. I am getting rid of all my Joel Ward stock. There's, if you
All
want, it's a
taken.
fire. It's a pattern. It's a fire sale. Take whatever you
Done. Name your price.
In that case, $50 million.
You got it. Send me your dates.
Ned.
I don't think he's as bad as everyone makes out to be. He shouldn't be our first choice, but given he would be reasonably cheap and is clearly quite well liked around the team, I would be more than happy to have him in the squad, but he should not be starting. So based on where he is, I will hold some stocks, but I'll offload a couple. Like I say, I think he would be a good backup option, which is what he was supposed to be 3 years ago. And he would be a perfectly serviceable backup option if our main right back got injured for 2 weeks and he had to come in and play. Not a problem. But sh probably shouldn't be our first choice, unfortunately, because he is the perennial Joel Ward Award winner. As Mark says, the greatest player in the history of the club.
Yep.
Love him to bits, but we do need a new right back.
Yep. So, Mark Gay, Dale.
buy everything there is on the planet. I know a number of podcasts we've spoken about Eze and Elise going for 75 million or whatever. This guy very quietly has become England's first choice centre back, or one of their first choice centre backs. I know John Stones is injured. But now Harry Maguire is injured, I have no doubt it will be John Stones and Mark Gerhey who are starting for England. He is an absolute Rolls-Royce. He's far too good for this club. And I think regardless of where we finish, unless we somehow finish in the top six, he'll be gone. So I am buying every last bit of stock that is on the planet for him.
Mark.
Yeah, I can probably only back up all of what Dale just said there, and I'd even be prepared to sell some of my surplus Joel Ward stocks and tip it into Gahee.
Yes.
This is brilliant.
Strong words indeed. Ned.
Yeah, I will be if Dale's bought all of the Mark Gerhey stocks, I'll be heading straight down to see if we can sort of, do some sort of dicey behind the scenes deal and arrange for some more to be sold off so that I can buy those as well. He is tip top, absolutely buy, 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 buy.
Agreed. I am going on the secondary stock market just in case anything slips through the cracks and buying that as well. So, 100%. Joachim Andersen, Ned.
I'll be buying stocks in that as well. Not anywhere near as much as I would buy in Mark Gerhey, but I am very happy to have plenty of stocks in Mr. Anderson.
Dale?
He dies an absolute Rolls Royce. He's just oozes class. Everything about him, from the way he just runs around the pitch, the way he hits those balls, to the way he absolutely clattered. Who did he clatter the shit out of the other day and got yellow carded for at the end of the game is Liverpool. Just brilliant. Like, he embodies pretty much everything you want as a footballer. I'm buying stock in him. Again, though, he's probably far too good for us. And unless we finish top half, he's probably going to go as well. But yeah, I'm buying stock in him.
Mark him up.
Yeah, absolutely. Quality player. Got a great long ball on him. Doesn't mind marshalling the troops. And I fucking love it when he rips into whoever he feels has done him a disservice. In defence, I like seeing the passion and yeah, I think he gave fucking Wardy a spray the other day, actually, which is yeah, shows he's got something about him. Call it how he sees it. So I appreciate Dale not buying every fucking stock available of Joachim Andersen, and I too will make a purchase.
Yes, I am. I'm buying as well. I'm not scouring the second, the black market for it as I would with Mark Gahey, but I am also buying, Tyreek Mitchell, Marky Mark.
Ooh, well, my answer's changed. If you had asked me maybe a month ago, I don't know what's going on with Tyreek. If some got some dramas off the pitch or whatever, but he looks like he's just checked out to me. Got some England caps and stuff, and I think he's well off that at the moment. But I mean, it's, you don't lose that talent overnight, but there's something awry there. So yeah, I because I have to make a decision, yay or nay, a tentative yes, but I'm yeah, I'm not refinancing the house for stock in him.
Ned?
Yeah, I think again, he's one that he is perfectly good as a player for us. I will buy, but I would also like us to buy some cover for him, so that we can give him a rest. And when he does have his little periods, remembering that he's still very young, when he does have these little periods where potentially he's either just tired or a bit worn out, we can actually pop someone else in there to play some cup, play the two cup games that we play a year before we get knocked out, to give him a bit of a breather. Or maybe just even be able to come on in the 75th minute every now and then to just let him relax and sort of calm down a touch, and put some pressure on him. I will buy, but I would also like us to buy another left back to give him some competition.
No.
I think funny one is Tyreek. He, I have a feeling we're going to really miss him now he's injured, and we're going to be like, and everyone will go, we should buy as much stock as we can. But I think the reason he's injured is because he plays every game, as Ned's saying, and there's no cover for him. I also feel that if we got cover for him, we'd suddenly go, oh, maybe he's not as good as we think he is, because I think he might have someone who doesn't sort of switch off as much as he does. However, I do think he is perfectly good. Left back. I am going to be a little bit controversial and say I'm selling my stock in Tyreek Mitchell. I don't know if he's a left back who takes us forward. I reckon that if we got relegated, he would stay with us and he would be a very good left back getting us out of the championship or playing the championship. But I don't know if he's the left back who takes us to the next level. And I'm sorry, Going to be a little bit controversial and sell my stock in him.
I'm going to be honest, you're definitely going to miss a player when he's the only player in his position in the first team squad. So you're definitely going to miss that. I'm buying a little bit. I do think we are the level of Tyrique Mitchell. So 10 to 14, that's Tyrique Mitchell. Check Doucouré, Ned.
Oh, absolutely buy. He is top notch. He's top notch as a holding midfielder. Hopefully he is still top notch as a holding midfielder when he comes back from injury, because that's not one of those fun ones that is a nice quick recovery. But I think just in terms of the way he reads the play, I mean, there's no, if you look at, clubs like Liverpool were looking at, potentially spending 60 plus million on him. They don't do that for shit players. They're not Chelsea. So I think, yeah, absolutely very good holding midfielder. Can't shoot, but will one day score our goal of the season from about 45 yards. It'll happen once. It won't happen twice, but it will happen once. And geez, it's going to be a belter. It's going to be like when Paddy McCarthy put that one in against whoever it was from the car park. But I will buy quite a few stocks in the old Cheick Doucouré.
Dale.
I'm buying purely on the basis that he's still only 23. Man looks like he's 53. He's got a long career ahead of him again. Probably too good for us long term. One heck of a player, and we'll get on to Doogie later. But for all the critics about we don't buy this, we don't buy that. How on earth can pick him up for pretty much pittance, and we're going to sell him for a lot of money. I'm buying stock in him for sure.
Mark him up.
I mean, absolutely. Really going to miss him now with his injury, and was everything in the middle of the park for us last season. He was been on the job for a couple of guys for a good stint there. So absolutely buying. He, I agree with Ned, he will channel his inner Chungy and just get an absolute worldie from about 37 somewhere in the far-flung corners of the field, and we will all gasp in adulation. Some boy also heard Roy pronounce his name like I've never heard it in his last press conference. I can't remember how he did it, but it wasn't Doucouré. It was something odd, which I thought was
Yeah,
odd.
I've heard him say it. I can't remember. I know you mean.
Yeah, not nor can I, but yeah, mate, I'll chip in a and dip into the coppers and bang. Yourself.
Yep. I between Mark Gahey and Cheick Doucouré, I'll be running out of money because I'm buying all that shit. Jefferson and Lerma, Dale.
Yeah, buying. Good player, super player. We'll just wish he would get booked so many times. He's I hear something like 50 something yellow cards he's now got in his time in England. He's good. He's the sort of signing that helps take a club like us, should take a club like us forward. And I think we've seen in the last two games how good he can be as a box-to-box midfielder and a bit of everything. So yeah, I'm buying stock in him for sure.
Enough.
Yeah, a buy seems to be sort of finding his feet and growing into sort of the club ethos match by match. Yeah, for whatever reason, I always confuse him and Chris Richards. But now that Richards is sporting that god awful mo, that would be a bit easier to work out who's
Terrible.
who. But yeah, no, he's coming on, and I think he's probably in a position now if we are playing the stock market like we are. Yeah, good chance to come in low and fill our boots with his shares.
Ned, as I watch the world's biggest cockroach walk across the
I mean, that's an unkind thing to call me, but and to say fairly unnecessary at this point. But
I'm
anyway,
gonna be honest, if I'm gonna be honest, I would call you a lot worse than the cockroach. That's your way below a cockroach. So,
Oh, Jesus.
all right. Well, all I'm going to say is I'm selling all my stock from Rob Seltzer. Not that I had any to start with.
He's also in the wrong state to be a cockroach as well, Rob.
True. Jefferson Lerma. I will buy. I think he is not quite as good as everyone seems to think, but I think he is perfectly adequate for our level. And I think he does a good job for us. I'm happy to keep him. I will say buy.
I am also buying a Jefferson Lerma cockroach update, cockroach no more.
Oh, look out.
Yes, it. Jordan, are you? Mark him up.
Oh, before I get into that, you've obviously acclimatized long enough, mate, from the mother country to destroy fucking cockroaches the size of your hands at will. How are you with Huntsman's?
Oh, no, thank you, mate.
That's
No, that's
extra
a no.
fucking metal.
Nah.
Yeah, well done to the cockroach, first and foremost. Was it a flying one? Did it try and fly away? They're the fucking horrific.
Yeah, it did. It did. So
Yeah,
just
right.
it was flying. It's a bit like I'm so quick. Just to come quick jab,
Yes.
knock it down,
Jab. Yeah.
get the flip flop. Boom. Good night.
Thong to the head. Game over. Nice work.
Thank you,
Who was the gentleman in question again?
Mr. Ayu.
Thanks.
Oh, all hail. King Jordan. Yes, I mean, now that we're talking about stocks and buying and selling, absolutely. What a buy. All in, because the rate is good, and the return is even better, barring obviously his indiscretions in the week just gone by. Arguably second wasn't a yellow, but yeah, in any given day of the week, yeah, for the return we get, yeah, absolutely. Put my hand in my pocket for Jordan.
Ned.
Yeah, I'll buy stocks in Jordan Ayew. I wish he scored more goals, but give it. But I was saying this on the weekend. I do not understand why we don't do more work on attacking set pieces. Because Jordan Ayew cannot score to save himself apart from the two worldies he gets a year. All he does, every time he gets a ball, we get a free kick. We've got players who can whip a ball in. We can work on attacking set pieces. We get 10 a week purely from Jordan Ayew, because he gets it and he just flops so nicely. Just the fall, it's delightful to watch every time. So I will be buying stocks in Jordan Ayew. I won't be buying every single stock there is, but I'm more than happy to have a few in my portfolio.
Dale.
Yeah, buying. Not too much, but buying. I will say on the free kick thing, I can't remember who we played against earlier in the season, but we had no Eze, no Elise, and Will Hughes went off. So I started taking corners and a field free kick, and he was beating the first man, which instantly puts him at the top of the Palace corner taking list.
Yep.
Let's be honest. People will mock Jordan Ayew the day the cows come home, and they mock him because he wears a number nine shirt. I'm pretty certain when he signed, it was probably 9-4 or 79. So you take the number nine shirt. He's been arguably our most hardworking player of the last 4 years, week in, week out. And for that alone, you would be happy to have a number of Jordan Ayew, so I'm buying.
Well, he wouldn't be happy to have it because he doesn't smile ever. But other
That's
than
true.
that, yeah, 100% agree.
Well, that's part of the joy, isn't it? And I mean, if trying to get down the technicalities, I think he's a nine operating as a false nine, isn't
Well, yeah, he's a false nine because he can't score.
Yeah, I know. Can't hit a barn door, but bless him, he puts in a shift every week.
Does. He does. And so that. Going by Dale's kind of thought process on Tyrie Mitchell, I'm going to go with that process on Jordan Ayew, and I'm going to controversially sell. Because
Okay.
if you're saying that like Tyrie Mitchell, which I agree, isn't the left back taker to the next level, I say Jordan Ayew's the same. So if he went down in the championship, he'd tear up trees. But he's not. For your thinking on Tyrie Mitchell, I feel the same with Jordan Ayew. So I'm controversially selling Jordan Ayew.
Good. I'll buy. Thank you.
Just in the interest of time, fellas, I'm going to group the next two players together because let's be honest, we all know what we're doing. It's Eberechi Eze and Michael Olise, and
Yeah, go just
five, five.
pass.
We're spying. We're
Just
buying.
go to the next ones.
We're buying everything. We're buying absolutely everything. Just give me, feed me, feed
I
me.
will say though, on Elise, I'm not saying I'm not going to buy anything. I'm obviously going to buy everything. Just do want to see a little bit more from him. He just
I'm definitely buying more. I'm definitely buying more Eze stocks than Elise stocks.
I think when it comes around to selling those two, whoever gets Eze is getting the better deal, I think.
I don't
Yeah,
I
I'd
don't
agree with
know.
that.
I don't know. Like, what is it? What Elise did to Luton was like, I'm going to score now. That was
Yeah, great. I'm
enough.
going to score now. It,
That was
yeah, didn't do anything else the entire game, mate. I know it's his first game back, but didn't do anything else in the game. And he's been running around the last 2.5 games like a moody old shit.
Yeah,
And
you couldn't. You
we
shouldn't have been
just,
playing. I dare say. And
yeah,
then,
I agree. I just think if I look at Eze against Luton, or sorry, Elise against Luton, or Eze against Everton, I know which one I'd rather have.
No, I see it. I see it. But then if you look at Eze against Brighton last season when he was absolute dog shit too. So, but who cares? They're both fucking superb. We're gonna make a lot of money off them and I wish they'd stay for their careers, but they're not gonna.
You can group the next two together, I reckon.
Odds
Yeah.
on Edouard. It's okay, Edouard and Mateta then,
Joint
eh?
deal. If we join them together to sell, we might be able to get, packet of chips and, maybe even a drink to have with it.
Okay. So Ned's selling everything. I'm assuming Dale, you're selling everything.
I'm selling almost everything. I'm keeping the tiniest bit of Edouard stock because he does appear to be able to score. It's just annoying how he scores. What was the game he got the goal disallowed against? Who was that?
Luton.
I mean, he knew instantly that it hit his hand and he went off celebrating doing it all this one. And I'm like, mate, you knew that was getting ruled out. You knew what just and that really angered me. I don't know why. So anyway, I'm keeping the tiniest bit of his stock, but I'm selling the majority or pretty much everything for those two.
Never seen a bloke in Odson Edouard who every goal he scores goes right in the corner and every single one of them is mishit. It just bobbles along the ground. Like it beats the goalkeeper, but it just bobbles in this way that he's hit the top of the ball or just
Oh,
hasn't quite hit it comfortably.
go back and
Someone
watch. Go back and watch his
kicked a
goal
little bit.
against Fulham and Leeds last season. They're belters.
Sure. Go watch
But
all
the
of his goals this
majority.
season. Yeah,
None?
to be fair, I would keep a slight amount of Edouard, but only because he's young and we've got no one better.
Marky Mark?
Well, I'll just answer Ned there quickly. Jean-Philippe Mateta, songs don't lie, mate. There ain't nobody better. Much like Dale, very similar, keeping the slightest of remnants in Edouard. And just quickly, when this podcast comes out, can we get done for insider trading? Or we good?
I
Because,
wouldn't have thought so. I think you're pretty safe on that one, mate.
maybe put a disclaimer in Ned in post-production, mate, please.
I'm selling absolutely everything of Jean-Philippe Mateta. I'm even including some of my Joachim Andersen stock in there to get rid of it.
As a
No.
sweetener.
As exactly that. Have that as well. Only a little bit, but have that too. But I'm keeping Edouard. I'm keeping Edouard. Let's just go on diet.
I'm still trying to find a text message where you were adamant you would yeah, we're just found the next bargain striker.
Who's wrong,
Oh
Mateta? Yeah, maybe. I was
man.
wrong. I was wrong.
I'll find it.
Sorry, here you go. Wait, hold up, Dale. Just we need to pause up.
For Mateta,
You
I was
like
horribly wrong.
speaking with them.
I think I was horribly wrong. I said that about Bamford as well, actually. Roy Hodgson. Oh,
What about this look?
I can't be bothered. Look, mate, we've been going forever. We can literally that.
Where do we put this is me? Where do we put JPM on the list of our worst strikers? Obviously, I'll
Oh, he's
say
right up
he's
there.
the worst I've seen for us in the Prem.
Oh, Aaron Wilbraham did start our first ever Premier League game.
We did have Kevin Doyle and Shota Ameobi.
Oh,
Yeah, we've had
trying to
some
wick him, anyone?
shit footballers play for this
Yaya
club.
Sanogo.
Anyway, carry on. Roy Hodgson, selling, stopping him there.
Mark.
Well, I mean, yeah, for many reasons, but yeah, that's yeah, it's a sell for me.
Ned.
Well, you can't. I don't think it's necessarily. I don't think he's one for the future based on the age.
Exactly.
If we're going by the Tyrone Mitchell and Jordan Ayew approach of is he the man to take us to the next level? I don't know if there is a manager to take us to the next level where with our current finances and where we are. Like I'm, you know, if he stays, I'm more. I've got no concerns. If we replaced him, it's going to have to happen soon anyway. No concerns. You know, he's doing what he has always done, which is put that he's a very good barometer of where the club is at because he will not overachieve and he will not underachieve. He will just achieve at level, nothing more, nothing less. So, I'm very indifferent. I will hold on to whatever I have, but I won't be purchasing any more.
I will include him in the Jean-Philippe Mateta deal. They can both fuck
Wow.
off.
What a buy that's going to be for someone.
Is it
Just quickly too, if
exactly?
you're selling your Hodgson stocks, there's a certain gentleman that wears a long cloak and carries a sickle around that'll probably be close to your front door to get him because I don't think that's far off. But anyway.
Oh. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. all right. Now, Steve Parrish. Mark.
Sell.
Bill.
Yeah.
Ned. No, Ned.
Ned Rock.
You
Oh, sorry.
want
Ned Rock.
to comment on there? Nah, just going to skip this
Yeah,
one.
I think it's a Dale. I will say bye because he is one of very few things that is keeping us actually rooted as a club from this place that we are from, in the same way that I would probably also was a factor in me buying Tyrick Mitchell stocks. I would rather have Steve Parrish as our chairman and sit perennially in 12th than go be bought by some oil billionaire, win the league a couple of times, and just basically not actually be a club. There's no Premier League club that hasn't sold a significant part of their soul, but at least we still have some left. So I will be buying and keeping my stocks in Mr. Parish.
So,
I'm selling some stock, but I am keeping heat to sell some. To Ned's point, I think having that retention of somebody who gets the fans and is a fan of the club is important, and it keeps us that soul, and that's what sets us apart. Well, in the bottom half of the Premier League, I think a lot of the teams are the same like that. Have a bit of a soul. Not all of them, but some of them have a bit of a soul. And Parrish gives us that. However, if we do, we need to see the new stand done. That would get Parrish some. I'll buy more stock if he gets the stand done. I would like to see what I don't want him to come out at the end of the season and say stuff like, we're going to take this club to the next level, rah, 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 and then ultimately have a standstill by only getting Jefferson Lerma and Rob Holding and then a goalkeeper around him. Like that sort of diminishes it for me, but you look at your body of work, it's a good body of work. So I'm selling some, but I'm not too many, keeping a lot.
I'm exactly the same as that. I'm sending some, but I'm keeping like a bit because I want him at the club. I think it's very important. But as you said, as Dale already said, you can't come out and say we at the end of the season we're taking this club to the next level and then let go of our best ever player, not replace him, not replace any. I have a left, don't get a left back in, even though we've known or a right back. We've known we need both of them for years. And he says stupid things like, you know, if you're not moving forward in this league, you're going backwards.
That's it.
And we haven't moved forward at all. We're going backwards. No, he just doesn't
I do
back
think as
up
well,
his work.
sorry, with Parrish, he's not going to stay around forever either because he doesn't have the money. Like we
No.
know that he doesn't have the money, so he needs to find these investors. And the problem for Parrish is the moment you get a Texter or a Harris or a Blitzer or whoever, if they decide they want him, they want him out, or they want sole control of the club, they can do it. They've got the money, right? So, so it's a tough one for him. I know exactly what he's trying to do. I see it, but I just don't. I don't know how much longer he is for Palace. So I just don't know if he's long, if he's for the long term.
He's not for the long. I don't. I agree. There will be a time where he goes, but I think he'll try and he'll make sure that the club's in as good a hands as he thinks he can leave it. I think the text to call was an awful one. I've said that from the start. He's a charlatan, but anyway. But yeah, but that's gone. But like, it just like he just doesn't back up his words. As I said, like if you're standing still, you're going backwards. We're going to take this club on to the next level. And then he, as Dale said, we don't sign anyone. We don't sign players we need to sign. And what he said, he's already said we're doing loans in January. So that's something to look forward to. And the last one is Doug Friedman, according to Mr. Hodgson. Doug Friedman, are you buying or selling Dale?
I am buying. I find it amazing that a guy whose football career essentially spans Scotland, Crystal Palace, Wolverhampton, Nottingham Forest, and scoring a great goal away at Stockport has been able to do some of the stuff he's done. It's just been unreal. And again, we mock all we like, but look at the current team: Johnson, Anderson, Gerhi, Lerma, Doucouré, Eze, Elise. It's just a brilliant body of work. It's absolutely superb. And if he can pour any of that out again, I will be very happy. Even IU, £2.5 million after being on loan, is a great piece of work. So yeah, I'm probably buying a little bit of Dougie Friedman stock.
Matt?
Just to be the other side of the fence, I'm going to retain some, but sell a chunk. Douglas F, as I refer to him as. Look, he's done some good things. And other times you're kind of like scratching your head, but I mean, you know, can't all be gold, let's face it. So, probably pound for pound gets away with it. As Dale's just illustrated there, but happy to sell a bit and get a bit of that cash floating Jay Ward's way.
Ned,
I will buy. What I do find to be quite entertaining with Mr. Friedman is, as a striker, he seems to be able to find absolutely superb deals for every position on the park.
Yeah.
I think there must be a part of him there sitting there going, maybe I can still play up front. If I sign players that are bad enough, maybe I'll get a rep. In terms of what he's signed, there's very few misses, and most of the misses are injury related misses, like your Ferguson's and so on, where it's a case of the players come in, they've got injured. So you're sort of going, well, that's probably more on the physios and the sports scientists and whoever's doing the medicals than it is on the guy who's identifying the transfers. But I mean, there's not many misses in there. We've just gone through our squad. There were a lot of people in there that we said we're going to sell for a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so that he has brought in for not very much money. So in terms of for doing his job, since he sort of started doing that properly, and we've ended up in that position where we've started going for those players who have got that sell on value. I think he's been great. We do, I think, need to start actually selling them and turning that into cash and then reinvesting it properly, which we haven't done yet. But I think in terms of what he's done and the signings he's made, I'd love to see some more of them, but he doesn't have many misses.
Yeah, I'm buying all day long. I think it's been brilliant. Even the players we've nearly got, I mean, I know there's agent talk, but I think we've been linked with some, there's been interest in a few players that we haven't got and have gone on to be very good players. I mean, so I'm buying the big Duke. Okay, that brings us to the end of all that. So now we hand over to our resident Aussies and to talk Aussie chat.
Can I go first? Even though I'm just an adopted Aussie.
Well, yeah. Given that anyone may still be listening, Dale, yeah, sure, go for it.
Yeah. Well, I watched two A-League games in the last 2 weeks, which I thought was I pat myself on the back. But for me, the highlight was having Hugh Jackman at Selhurst Park. What the most random thing was that? I do know that parts of Croydon have been used recently to film a Hollywood blockbuster, apparently. So I wonder if that's got anything to do with him being in the area, but I thought that was very random.
Was. Certainly was.
Well, he's a Norwich City fan, apparently. So, I mean,
yeah,
makes yeah. sense. I mean, that's even more random. So, I mean, anyway, why not? Welcome. He's welcome there, but only if he gets slightly better results for us next time.
I wasn't across that. I've taken a leaf out of one R. Seltzer's book. I've just been watching many matches lately, so I got wind of it, but I was like, oh, okay, he was obviously at the ground or something, and what was it, for the Liverpool game? Is that what he was there for?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, don't know. I'll chat to my people and try and get the bottom of it for you, Dale.
Thanks, mate.
That's all right. So yeah, back to Aussie stuff. Ned, do you want to have a quick go, or just a go? Doesn't have to be quick.
Sure, I think there's couple of fun ones. Back going to A-League games is quite enjoyable, seems as they got rid of all of the stupidity, so I thought I'd give it another crack. Quite enjoyable to watch a certain Bruno Fornaroli, who obviously used to play for Melbourne Victory's biggest rivals. Then they decided that he was too old and no good about 6 years ago, so they sold him to Perth, who he went and scored a bucketload of goals for, and they decided he was too old and no good and just popped over to Melbourne Victory and had the best start for a striker in A-League history with 11 goals in his first 7 games. He's bagged 4 twice, scored probably the top 2 goals of the season with a cheeky little Rabona in one of his first 4 and another one where he nutmegged the player and then hit pigeonhole one into the top corner from 30 yards. So he's potentially off the Asian Cup at the age of 36 or 37 or however old he is. Could definitely get him on loan at Palace. Could be one of the ones Barish is talking about. Old, probably past it, cheap, fits the bill for us, and his best mates with Luis Suarez, so maybe we could do a little deal there. Otherwise, Kyra Cooney-Cross getting player of the month at Arsenal in the women's game was a nice little touch, but they're probably the main things. But Marky Mark, what's going on for Bris Vegas?
Oh, mate, much happening up here. I've been fucking really busy with work, so I haven't been across the boys at Suncorp as much as I'd like to be. I haven't even been out there for a game this season. Done right, burgeoning along at about 4th, I think. Now coached by Ross Aloisi, John Aloisi's brother, who was at the helm 2 or 3 seasons ago. So, yeah, that's odd. I don't know how many clubs have been coached by brothers in different times. But anyway, bit of homework for you. Yeah, done all right. Not ripping up trees. Dale, I'm not sure that I even got back to you, mate, about Fornaroli going to the Asian Cup and would I put him in the squad? Yeah, fuck, why not? The form he's got at the moment. He's already been given the nod before, didn't disgrace himself, and yeah, put him in the shop window for some loans in January for Palace, because it does indeed fit the bill. Yeah, in a slightly smaller leather ball in Aussie chat. Australia won the World Cup. Off the back of your comments last podcast, Dale, we were 0-2 and then proceeded to win every other fucking game of the tournament and win it, knocking out previous champions along the way in England, most enjoyable, and then knocked over Indian on a very doctored pitch in front of the home crowd. So to see 100,000 in silence, aghast, as their share of shit team threw it all away, and Australia be victorious was brilliant, most enjoyable.
I must say, the best thing about that, there was not a single email or mention about it at work. I was so pleased.
Oh, fuck, you got off lightly then.
I know, it's so good.
With that cricket, Mark, did you just after the World Cup, did you happen to catch the one day series in the West Indies?
We won.
I look out, the man of many hats is speaking. Fucking hell. Is there a continent you're not across or part of? Or bloody hell, mate, Antarctica will put their hand up for something one day and you'd be like, get in. Fucking knew it happened. I didn't watch it live, Ned, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, West Indies won that 2-1, that
I
series.
think they might have just snuck it, yeah.
Yeah,
So good.
go
Count
on.
on the Windies. Come on.
Nothing better. Nothing better. So that's been fun. Yeah, look, probably my second favourite match of that tournament was Pakistan beating New Zealand, thus not mathematically eliminating England from the tournament, which led Australia to do exactly that the following game. So all the ducks got in a row for that. That was pretty cool. Mentioned Arsenal there earlier in the ladies before Ned. I think Cooney Cross and Katlyn Ford rolled Kerr's Chelsea during the week to go top of the table, I believe. So
4-1 in front of about 60,000 people too.
there you
Yes.
go. Yeah, so that's not nothing. And of course, as is perennially happening in the mid over there, Ange Postecoglou, bit of a bubble with his side there. Of course, he coaches Tottenham Hotspur now and came out of the blocks flying. Few injuries and a bit of a wobble, and of course everyone's going, "Oh, you don't fucking win the league in October, mate, rah rah." But apparently, you can throw it all away and be relegated in November, evidently, if you read the headlines. So how quickly some of those people turned, and I just want to take aim. I was listening to a rival podcast, Guardian Football Weekly, the other day, and one of the guys on there. Johnny Lou had quite a bit to say about Ange and, oh, he's just a fucking fat bloke from Australia. It says, mate, a lot. Who is he? What's he ever done? And I can't help but think, what a fucking shit journalist it is for a bloke of his standing on a platform like that to come out and talk absolute shit like that about that guy. I mean, Ange Postecoglou, he's only gone and won the fucking league at every single club he's coached at across three continents, coached Australia to a fucking Asian Cup, our first proper trophy in the country's history, won the J-League. I mean, Johnny Lou not across the Scottish Premier League because he went in there with Celtic on their knees, give it the
I
fucking
think
jab between the eyes and give them a couple of trebles. And he's going, who is Ange Postecoglou? Well, you ignorant, arrogant fucking cunt. Johnny Lou, he's
do
dumb.
think Mark, I do think his comments were, I think they were less about Ange Postecoglou and more about the hype that had been generated about Ange Postecoglou. But
Literally,
like,
he literally said, "I can't stand the bloke." Yeah.
well, yeah, but I also think a bit of that is comes around from that. You know what English is like, mate. There, you put some, it's tall poppy syndrome, right? You put someone on a pedestal just to knock them down. Whether that's Johnny Lou, which I think, I don't know if he necessarily meant it like that, but I think a lot of it has been in, like, suddenly everyone wants to see Tottenham lose. First week, first month, it was great, and then everyone was really happy when they started losing games because people had enough of the Aussie stuff. But there you go. Well, I love your passionate defence of your countrymen, Mark. That is beautifully said.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I take way more umbrage to these comments than Ange does, 100%. Like,
What, you reckon?
he doesn't give a flying fuck. But this fucking wanker Lou who comes out and it 100% is tall poppy, mate. Like, he's fucking like the spoiled kid down the street that's got the good bat and ball. So he's getting cleaned up. He's like, oh fuck it, I'm going home, taking my shit with me. Shut up, fucking cunt. What's he ever done? I tell you what, Ange has done more in 2 months in the Premier League than that prick will fucking ever do. I've got more to say, but I think you get where I'm coming from.
And
Well, Arthur, I think we should put a nice spot end to that there. That was a wonderful, beautiful, uplifting segment for Marky Mark. So thank you for that. And again, I repeat, tis the season. So before we do go, Mark, if we hand over to you, if you just simmer down slightly and just to discuss the upcoming Brisbane Palace meet.
Oh, of course.
Oh my goodness.
For those that aren't across it, I hope everyone that was that that listens to this, or indeed anyone still listening. I appreciate it. The national meetup will be up here in Brisbane, Bris Vegas, February 9 through 11, the Friday the 9th, 10th Saturday, 11th Sunday. Won't do a spoil and tell all of what's happening, but obviously we'll take in an A-League game up here. I think we play Melbourne City. I have to double-check that, but it will be at Suncorp Stadium. Obviously, we'll be checking in on Ross Kinnerick and Bacchus Brewery there, which is always a pleasant time. A few other, you know, I's to dot and T's to cross to get the full itinerary and merch and, you know, other strippers and so forth to sort out. For the run, the Exiled Eagles accommodation has been sorted. We've got a lovely pad at South Brisbane there, so I look forward to making it past shopfront entrances and the lounge room floor and grace the bed this time round. That'll be my main objective for the weekend. But yeah, come on, come all. Plenty of room up here, post-Christmas blues or whatever. Come up here and get amongst it for the meetup. If you've never been, come along. It's always a great time. You know, if you get bored or you don't know anyone, come and talk to me and Ned, and we can regale you in some petanque stories that will just it'll be worth the airfare alone. So yeah, get out for that, which would be great. And yeah, obviously the full complement of Exiled Eagles will be there. We'll get some interviews from some partakers in it. You know, see if we can get a hold of Ross Aloisi or get some sort of memento and send Ned down there drunk as a skunk to get in his face.
I don't like him.
Okay, fair enough. So any case, yeah, it's always a good time, and that's coming up in Feb. So come one, come all.
Absolutely. My flights are booked. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a cracking weekend. So any palace in Australia, especially, I know I've noticed a couple of new guys that have recently moved to Sydney, get yourselves up there and come and say hello. That's it, fellas. Well done. A positive, uplifting last show for the year, because there's absolutely no chance of us doing another one this year. Let's be honest, we haven't done one for like 3 months, so the chances are the next time we do it is after Brisbane. We'll try and put one in between there now and Brisbane, but don't hold your breath, anyone. So all that's left for me to say is thank you very much to Ned, Mark and Dale. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you all. Let's hope we get some points at some point. Otherwise, we're fucked. Boy out. Cut the palace.
Merry Christmas.
Aww.